Solara Starr is a UK-based advanced law of attraction teacher trainer, coach, public speaker, and leading wellness expert. She will share life-changing wisdom about the law of attraction and how you can use this powerful universal law to build a foundation for bigger and bolder manifesting results. It is time to create the life you deserve, and with Solara's help, you will.
How to expand your energy, elevate your vibration, and align with your deepest desires through the art of meditation. A very warm welcome to Manifesting Made Easy with myself, Solara Starr, your law of attraction coach and mentor. And I absolutely love helping you master your manifestations and your life. And I have a very special guest with me today. I am joined by Kira McGinley, a health and well-being expert and founder of Finding Quiet. So Kira creates luxury meditation experiences and day retreats that help women reconnect with themselves, unwind, which just feels so lovely in itself, that word, and discover the simple and super, super accessible ways to prioritize well-being in a fast-paced world. And I was super, super excited leading up to this conversation today because I know just how important meditation and mindfulness and self-love and unwinding is important to the efficacy of the law of attraction and our manifestation practice. So having loved meditation for many, many years, I got super excited to welcome Kira on our episode today. So very, very warm welcome, Kira. It's so lovely to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited for this conversation.
And you're joining us from Oxford in London?
Yes. Nice busy Oxford. So hopefully it'll be nice and quiet outside.
And if it's not, hey, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Where isn't it when you can just allow everything just to be as it is?
Yeah, I actually always say that's the most important part of the practice is when you're distracted by those little noises outside and you can still bring yourself back to being in the present moment and the task that you're doing and in your practice as well.
I love that. What a perfect opening. So we kind of want things to be a little bit noisy. I've got the fire crackling in the background. No doubt the postman will probably knock on the door. So I think we're in good shape to practice that one. And you've got the most beautiful accent, which I mentioned before we even came on the call. So you're from Ireland originally?
Yes, I'm from Derry, which everyone seems to know of now because of the show Derry Girls. I feel like when I said that before, no one knew where it was, but now they do.
Oh, well, it's lovely. I could just listen to you talking all day long. So going to meditation and mindfulness, meditation, what inspired you to first explore meditation?
So I was kind of first introduced to meditation when I was at university, and it was really from kind of a side of, I'm experiencing a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. I just moved to London and it was all just quite overwhelming. So my university put on these meditation sessions, and that was something that really helped me to just find a little bit of calm in the midst of all that chaos. And it was when I first really started to understand my nervous system and kind of what was going on and why I was feeling that anxiety and that stress, and how it was impacting my body. But it was really more in the years after that, and I continued the practice. Whenever I started it, yes, I felt calmer. I was able to get to sleep a little bit easier. I was a little bit less stressed, but it was more in the years after that that I realized, how much it had changed my life, and it had taken me from this place where I was kind of very easily overwhelmed and very easily stressed to just a little bit calmer. I felt more resilient, more able to understand my emotions and why I was feeling that stress, and able to manage it and kind of work with it as well.
Yeah, and I find it so inspiring that, someone like yourself who, suffering in that way and, finding the anxiety can be so all-encompassing. I had an anxiety disorder from, I think, like age 12 right up until about, 10 years ago. And it got so bad. And that's what kind of brought me into the journey of meditation. I think I qualified in like 2013 or something like that. It's because my anxiety got so bad. And at that point, I didn't know anything about the nervous system or you know, even that I could control it, I just felt like every moment was kind of like survival of the fittest. And everything that you've mentioned, you know, like that kind of strength and that resilience and feeling more centered and able to deal with ordinary everyday life experiences was a massive side effect. But later on in the episode, we're going to be chatting a bit more about how having a calm nervous system and regulated emotions, if you like, can massively enhance your manifesting practice as well. So it's kind of like a bit of an all-rounder, really, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we all will experience kind of challenges in life, and there'll be difficult times, and we will have anxiety. And it's just understanding what that is and understanding how meditation and mindfulness practices can help us with that. And then, you know, moving into the manifesting side of things, bringing us to that level of feeling a little bit calmer, a little bit more balanced, and then how we can use that to kind of set our intentions and move into our manifestation practice as well.
Yeah. And I think what I love about it is, you know, being able to maintain a consistent baseline. It's not always possible because life is stressful. I mean, let's face it. And that's not me being negative. That's fact. But what we can do is find certain practices that can help us to navigate through that. So we don't stay in the stress as long. We don't get as chewed up by it. We can move through it quicker, probably a bit more gracefully, and lead a healthier life. But what I love about it, I'd be very interested in your thoughts on this, is it affects everything. It affects the mind, the body, the emotions. It helps us to connect deeper with our own spirituality, whatever that means to us. So what are your thoughts on those kind of four areas? Have you noticed a difference for yourself and your clients?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, the kind of level of awareness I have of every kind of part of me is so much higher than before. I feel like I was living such a disconnected life, and using these practices has really helped me to connect with my mind, my body, you know, have that kind of my own spiritual practice, and everyone's is different. But it's allowed me to kind of carve that out for myself. And I think with clients as well, you know, a lot of the clients that I have are city women. They're rushing around, they're juggling a lot of different things. And for them, it's kind of almost given them that freedom to know that they have these techniques that they'll be able to kind of pull out of their toolbox whenever they need them.
I love that. And I actually felt quite emotional as you were saying that, because I have absolutely been one of those women, which is what led me to learning it and becoming a teacher in it. I always kind of find like if I'm committed to certification, then I'll see it through. Whereas if it's something that, you know, it's kind of like I can pick up and put down, I'm not as focused on it, which I always admire. So many people are so consistent within that. But what one word I really love that you mentioned there is awareness, because I'm a great believer that it's through awareness that we can make change. And awareness is the door to so many different positive experiences, getting in touch with, you know, the parts of us that may be saying yes to things when we mean no, like, you know, not having healthy boundaries. And we wonder, like, well, the listener might be wondering, what's that got to do with the law of attraction? Everything. Like, when we are calm, when we are empowered, when we feel like we're in control, that's when our manifesting practice goes from kind of coasting along, like every day is a Sunday, to kind of like through the roof. So I'm loving the word awareness that you're bringing into that, because awareness is key to change. Without it, we can make the changes that we want to change. So yeah, I'm just interested, like, why do you feel meditation is becoming such a sought after practice now? I know you've mentioned like so many women feeling stressed, but is there anything else that you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I think that, you know, having, I guess, like, you'll know this as much as anyone, but particularly, I guess, whenever I started doing this, I felt like meditation was just this woo-woo thing. And anytime I told anyone, oh yeah, I'm using this meditation to like help me with my anxiety, my stress, yeah, I felt like people just didn't really get it. And I think in the years since then, we've come to understand the power of these holistic practices and the need for them in our life as well. And I think that particularly for the clients that I work with, you know, they may have been just living on autopilot for years, and they've got to a point where they are ready to be open to these kind of practices. And that is really what's creating that awareness for them and then creating that change. And, you know, with meditation and mindfulness practices as well, there's a lot of new kind of research that looks at, you know, how we can use these practices to support the nervous system, the kind of physiological experience that we have when we do these practices, what happens in the brain and in the body when we meditate. And I think that's really added so much for, you know, maybe the people who did question it before. They can kind of see now that, yeah, okay, this is, you know, really something that, I mean, has been used for these things for thousands of years, but it's kind of having that understanding, I guess, can really open it up to a lot more people as well.
I love what you mentioned there about, you know, like it's been misunderstood, and it has been. It's like been seen as like this kind of like, I don't know, white socks and sandals kind of hippie. Mm-hmm. It's really not. Like when you look at the scientific evidence of the shifts in brain states from, you know, that kind of hectic beta to alpha, and through body scan, of course, we go down through to theta, which is such a powerful and healing space to be. I mean, you can't dispute these, you know, scientific reports at all. But mm-hmm. also, you know, looking and what I love you mentioned there is about the nervous system, you know, and how our nervous system, whichever way it's calibrated, whether it's the stress response or the relaxation response, absolutely impacts not only our personal well-being, but our manifestation. And if you're listening to this podcast, it's because you're into manifesting and you want to know how to make it work in your life, and you might be feeling blocked and not knowing what your next step is. And this could be the perfect answer for you. It's how's your nervous system? Because your manifestation practice will be directly impacted by your nervous system. Are you in fight or flight? Are you excreting stress hormones, cortisol, mm-hmm. adrenaline, lactate? You know, are you, you know, how are you breathing? Like, how are you feeling in this moment? Because we know that cortisol, especially excreted over a long period of time, it's actually very damaging in many ways. It's toxic and quite poisonous. I don't know if you've heard of that, Kira. Is that something you're mm-hmm. familiar?
Yeah, well, I guess with the nervous system, as you say, we've got that, you know, fight or flight response and rest and digest. And a lot of us will spend a lot of time in fight or flight when we don't need to be. And often that's because, you know, that response hasn't evolved with us over the years. So whenever our kind of ancestors were being chased by wild animals, yes, they needed to activate their fight or flight. But we will go into that response when we have, you know, a big meeting at work or a presentation, or we receive, you know, a difficult email. Our body goes into survival mode when it doesn't necessarily need to in that moment, when we don't necessarily need to be, you know, we're not at the threat is not real for us, but the mind perceives that it is and the nervous system does. So I think really understanding that and, you know, having that kind of awareness of, okay, I'm in my fight or flight, my heart rate's elevated, my breathing rate's elevated, my mind's cloudy, you know, my stress hormones are high, and understanding what practices can I do to flip that switch, to get into the parasympathetic nervous system, to lower the heart rate, lower the stress hormones, to feel calmer, and then also have that clarity that you mentioned, that you can't, you know, move forward with your intentions or with your manifesting practice unless you have that kind of clear. It's not necessarily an empty mind, but it's a clarity around, you know, awareness of what's going on in your internal world and your external world. And if you're in your fight or flight state and you're constantly in that fight or flight state, it can have, you know, a lot of impact on your health long term as well. Your sleep, inflammation, you know, having those stress hormones in your body are just not good for your health in general. So while we need to have that mode for those moments that we do need to survive, that we do have, you know, a real threat in front of us, we do need to be able to get into fight or flight, but we spend so much time in that we don't necessarily need to be in that. And so for me, the kind of understanding of that really helped me to, you know, bring that awareness into my mind and body, to understand what was happening within me, and to be able to then use my practice to get me into that rest and digest response, and to have that clarity of mind as well.
I love that. It's so beautifully put. And I think it's so important, you know, to hear what you're saying. And I think like our nervous system becomes like inappropriately set, doesn't it? Based, mm-hmm. like you say, perceived threats, but also Dr. Bruce Lipton, in one of his books, I can't remember which one it is right now, but he mentions that we actually become addicted to the hormones we excrete, whether they are stress or relaxation ones. So whether it's lactate or serotonin, dopamine, oxytocin, and norepinephrine. I don't know if I've said that right or if that's actually pharmaceutical. Anyway, moving on. It's like we become addicted to that. So people who are in that constant state of stress, you know, they kind of like almost look for more things stressed about, which brings us, and same with the feel-good hormones, of course. So as we have become addicted to the stress hormones, we can equally become addicted to, positively addicted to, the relaction hormones. And it's almost like retraining our body, isn't it, to flick that switch, like you say, because it's absolutely pointless and hopeless and really hard work to even try and manifest when we are in this stress response. And before we pressed record today, we were talking about the lens in which we view the world through. And if our nervous system is activated to that stress response and constant in fight or flight, in that survival mode, you know, it's a very heightened state. And like you say, you can't sustain it. And it does lead to ill health over time. And boy, do I know about that. But it also then influences the lens in which we view ourselves, the people around us, and our world through. So we never really see the world as it actually is. We see the world through how we are calibrated energetically or through our nervous system. So that itself is a very, very interesting conversation. And then you're about the subconscious mind. So would you like to share your thoughts on what we were saying before we recorded about the subconscious mind?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as you say, the more that you kind of live in that response, the more that that just becomes your norm and you're just constantly seeking that out. And, you know, the more that we can have this negative bias anyway to look for the negative things. So how can we flip that switch? How can we start to look and lead to a path where maybe things are a little bit more, you know, positive, or, you know, a little bit more kind of looking for those glimmers, I guess. And if we're able to do that and actively do that, then we're kind of rewiring the brain so that then it becomes just our natural response. You know, if we're constantly looking for the negative, we're always going to see the negative. If we start to look for those little glimmers, we're rewiring those neural networks within the brain, and it kind of starts to open up that path of experiencing those things more and naturally starting to kind of see those things. And I think visualization is a really great practice to kind of start your journey to rewiring the brain in that way and opening you up to those more positive experiences, or kind of the life that you want to live as well. And I guess with manifestation, you know, it's how can you use a practice like that to get you into a place where you can manifest your deepest desires and then start to really imagine it and feel it.
Really love that. So it's kind of like, if we're going to look at it as a journey, we learn meditation to learn to kind of create like a nice healthy emotional baseline that we can keep bringing us. And then through the visualization conversation, it's like really being clear on what it is that you want, whether it be to do with a meeting at the office or a conversation with a loved one where you need to discuss something maybe a little bit deeper than a normal conversation, or, you know, let's think big, like your future and you know, what it is you want in relationships. It's having a very clear idea on what you do want to experience, which is associated with the parasympathetic nervous system relaxation response, rather than what you don't want to experience, which is associated with the sympathetic nervous system and the stress response. And I think like learning to become clear, like in meditation or elsewhere, it's like, well, what do I want? Like, what do I want to feel? What do I want to experience? Because quite often when I ask people that in my coaching practice, I say, well, what do you want? And really, it's very interesting to witness. A lot of the time people will automatically default into, well, you know, I don't want to be stressed anymore. I don't want to work at a job that, you know, I feel like it you know, it's just crammed. I've got no work-life balance. And you can see like the subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and imagined. This person is really visualizing what they don't want and wondering why they keep experiencing more of the same. And like meditation and talking about the neuro pathways, it's like, well, what do I want? I want to feel a sense of peace. I want to be able to relax as I get my meal ready in the evenings. I want to enjoy some time in front of the fire with my loved one. I want to experience the world and go backpacking into the Himalayas. Of, you know, it's really kind of like getting very, very clear on what it is you want to experience, so that through meditation you can achieve a lot, but, you know, hit that baseline. So when you do go into what you're mentioning here about the visualization, you're clear on what you want and your nervous system is relaxed enough to be able to connect to, well, what does that feel like sat in front of the log fire with your soulmate? What does it feel like to have your warm hand in theirs and hear the crackling of the fire? And like we say, our subconscious mind doesn't know what's real and what's imagined. And feeling the warmth in the visualization of that hand and the crackling of that fire, it takes us there. Our nervous system, the parasympathetic, the feel good, then starts to activate. Now, of course, our subconscious mind starts to then look for evidence in our reality to begin making this manifest. And that's how the creative process is, you know, kind of like how it evolves. Thoughts on that, and what's your experience on that kind of process?
Yeah, definitely. I think everything that you've said there really rings true for me. You know, there's one particular visualization practice I do with clients, and it was quite interesting what you said is, you know, we can benefit from meditation in lots of ways, and there's lots of different types of meditations. You know, we've got the kind of breathe and focus practices to maybe soothe the nervous system, and then we've got these visualization practices which can really help us to kind of visualize what living in alignment looks like to us and to set intentions to start our journey there. And one practice that I do a lot is this future self, looking at your most kind of empowered self 3 months from now, 6 months from now. And what you said about really feeling into that is so important, because yeah, the brain can't tell the difference between what's real and what's imagined. And it's why you'll find a lot of athletes and CEOs and business owners will do these visualization practices, and they look at them as a practice for success. And they're really imagining, okay, every moment from the moment they wake up that day until the end of that day, how that's going to play out for them. You know, the really positive experiences they're going to have, the meetings that are going to go well, or the competitions that they're going to win. And they're preparing their body, they're preparing their nervous system for that experience, and they're preparing the mind for it as well. And it's really about getting super clear on not only what that looks like to you, but what it feels like, really feeling into every single aspect of that, and understanding, you know, as you said, what it would feel like to be sat in your beautiful home by the fire, and, you know, really feeling into that experience. And then at the end of your practice, you can set some intentions of maybe how you would start your journey there, or some affirmations that you can repeat every day when you do this practice. But also your mind will start to look around and to see, kind of lead you down the path of how to make that your reality as well. And I guess maybe that's where the manifestation comes into that, of, you know, looking around you and you're not looking at kind of the negative anymore, or the things that you don't have. You're looking for the things that you do have. You're appreciating those. I think gratitude's a really important part of that. But then also the little things that you can do every day to start your journey to live in as that empowered self and that future visualization.
I love that. And I love that kind of gap bridging, because future self visualization is one of my favorites. It's similar to what you're talking about. It's almost like timeline hopping, if you like, and connecting to that future you. And like, how does she walk? Or how does he, if you're listening to this in your mind, how does he or she walk? How do they talk? You know, what kind of thoughts are they thinking? What kind of actions are they taking? What's their daily routine like? How do they look after themselves? What are they eating? And, you know, really getting so familiar with that version of you that you are becoming, and then asking yourself, like, what one action can I take? It's almost like reaching up into that future version and pulling down one kind of actionable step. And then I find that we can slowly then, if we do that regularly and with consistency, we start pivoting and realigning ourselves to that version of us. And eventually we're like, wow, I've actually created all of that. And it's actually a really exciting and lovely way to do things. I love the way you're bringing in the affirmations as well. And that, you know, has the conversation links early to our earlier conversation about the neuroplasticity and how we wear grooves in our brain with the thoughts that we think. And if we're constantly thinking certain thoughts, you know, our brain is just going to naturally wire to that. I use the metaphor of, you imagine a 4x4 going down the same muddy tracks, well, through all the seasons, consistently every single day. It's going to wear very, very deep mud grooves, if that's the thing. And it's automatic to eventually, you don't even need to hold onto the steering wheel anymore, because that can pretty much just accelerate and it's going to default into those. And it's us choosing, is this the kind of program or track that I want to keep living by, or can I create new grooves in my brain which are more in alignment with what I want to experience? So I remember years ago, Kiara, I went on this tangent and it was Affirmation City. I got loads of sticky notes and I wrote loads of different affirmations, like life loves me, the universe has my back, all is well in my world, everything's working out for my highest good. And just loads of them. And I planted them everywhere, like three up the stairs, one in the cupboard where my toothbrush was, one in where the milk was in the fridge, my sun visor in my car, my wallet, you name it. So every time I got to another one, I would say that one over and over and over until I hit the other one. And I'd say that one over and over and over until I hit the other one. And it was probably sounds a little bit, I don't know, fun, exciting, crazy, I don't know, but it really worked to the point where I was walking down the high street one day, I was going to go pick up my daughter from school, and I was just reciting these automatically. Everything's working out for my highest good. I am open and receptive to all good. Only good will come. Only good will come. And it was just like, wow, I've actually created quite a powerful program there. So, you know, I love affirmations because they do work. They help us affirm what we want to experience. They help us get clear on what we want to experience as well. And it's that in itself, would you say that could be a meditation in itself? Setting a timer and just saying affirmations for a period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, the thing with getting clear on the right affirmation for you as well comes from having that awareness. So maybe doing a little bit of kind of a breathing exercise or a body scan or something to really like ground you in that moment and to, you know, open up that door for clarity for you, and then set yourself some affirmations and, you know, just put on some nice calming music or even just sit in silence and just repeat those. And that they can be really powerful, as you say. You know, I think that we don't realize that we constantly have thoughts going through our head, and we maybe aren't aware sometimes of the more negative or the more challenging thoughts, because they're just kind of the thing that we think every day, or the things that we say in our minds about ourselves is often, you know, the harshest things. And if we can start to have an awareness of those thoughts that we are having, particularly about ourselves, and then flip those. And, you know, as you say, things like everything's always working out for me, the universe has my back. Like if we can replace those thoughts with the more positive or the more, you know, compassionate way of thinking about ourselves and our lives and our kind of internal and external world, that will start to become the norm. And we can do that through our practice as well. If you know, I love your idea of putting post-it notes in all your kind of touch points. But if that's maybe something that isn't accessible for someone, having it as part of their practice every day would have, I would imagine, a lot of the same impact if, you know, it's part of their everyday routine to do that, maybe 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes at night, just to sit there with those affirmations and get really clear on what those affirmations are for them.
Yeah, lovely. I absolutely love this. And I think this is such a great reminder for, you know, anybody who's into any form of well-being and, of course, manifestation. Like there's so many different things that we can do. And no doubt people listening to this will already feel uplifted because, you know, some people who are listening have been doing this for a while. Some people are really new to this. And, you know, so you may have got an idea from something that we've shared, or you may be reminded that there's something that you know works for you that you haven't done for a while. So, you know, this is a great invitation to kind of step it up a bit, I think, more than anything. What would you say as far as any of these practices go, whether it's meditation, affirmation, mindfulness, how can somebody, this might be quite a big question, but maintain like a consistent practice, would you say, especially
I think it's quite interesting what you say around, you know, thinking about what works for you, because I really believe that wellness looks different for everyone, and the things that I value, someone else might not value, but they may value different parts of the practice. So, you know, I think it's quite easy to see things online and maybe think this is the only way to practice meditation, or this is the only way to be mindful or to manifest. So I think being open to different techniques is really the first, you know, the first place to start, and to do different practices and see what really feels in alignment with you and what you really enjoy or what you find works best. And I think once you do that, then it's much easier to be consistent, because you've found the thing that works for you. Or, you know, maybe it won't work at the start, but you feel after a few weeks that, yeah, this is something that I'm really connected to, or I get a lot of enjoyment in. I think there's a lot of kind of misconceptions around these practices and how long you need to do them or what they need to look like. And I say to a lot of clients who are commuters, you know, you can just do 5 minutes of deep breathing on the tube and you arrive at your office in a much calmer, balanced place, ready to take on the day and any challenges that come your way. And it is literally from just doing 5 minutes of deep breathing or 5 minutes of visualization or a body scan on their way to work. So it's really getting clear on what works for you and, you know, fitting it in with your lifestyle. And I think that's how you keep that sustainability element of the practices.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's like different strokes for different folks. And I know that sometimes certain practices work for me and sometimes they don't. And it depends where I'm at. So I kind of like, if I have a few, I'll think, right, that one will probably work with the time I've got, with how I'm feeling right now. So it's kind of like getting like a plethora of tools in your toolkit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And learning which ones will help at different times. But I think like the basic breathing is like one of the most powerful for everyday quick connections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's something providing, you know, that whoever's listening to this will let you be the keeper of your own safety. If you're driving, if you're operating any form of machinery, then please don't do any of the meditation. I'm going to invite you, Kira, if you're happy, just to do a short one, just to show people what that 5 minutes can look like. Mm. And then they can come back to this podcast anytime they want and just kind of take note of the timestamp. And that can, you know, be a practice, especially listening to your lovely voice and accent. I think I'll to this one. Would you be happy to run us through something like that, Kira?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, we could do a little kind of breath awareness and body scan. And that's just a really great technique to ground in the moment.
Amazing. Well, I'll hand over to you, my lovely. I'm looking forward to this.
Perfect. Okay, so if you are in a place where you are safe to do so and you'd like to do so, I invite you to close the eyes, or you can just soften the gaze. And we'll just take a moment to relax the body. So if you're seated, you can just roll the shoulders back. If they feel close to the ears, just encourage them to fall. You maybe want to take the neck from side to side, or take a gentle stretch if you need to. And when you're ready, you can just place the hands in the lap or by the sides. We're just going to start by tuning into the breath. This might be the first time today that you've noticed the breath. So just take a moment to see where you can feel the breath most strongly. It might be in the rise and fall of the chest. Maybe there's a sensation in the nostrils or the back of the throat. Wherever it is, just notice it. Become aware of it. But don't try to change it. Allow the breath to be just as it is in this moment. And when you're ready, on the next inhale, we will take a deep breath in through the nose together and exhale out through the mouth if that is comfortable. Breathing deeply through the nose and exhaling. And again, breathing in through the nose and exhaling. Let's do two more, taking a deep breath in through the nose and exhaling fully out through the mouth. And one last time, breathing deeply through the nose and exhaling fully. Just letting the breath return to its natural, normal rhythm in your own time. Noticing as your inhale becomes an exhale, and your exhale becomes an inhale. Allowing the body to soften with each breath. Each moment. This is your time to relax and reset. Give yourself permission to soften with each breath. And then in your own time, when you're ready, just taking a moment to notice the feet and the ankles, maybe noticing the contact they're making with the floor beneath you. Taking your awareness into your legs, to your thighs, maybe noticing the contact they're making with the chair. Leaning into that contact, that support. Bringing your awareness into the hips, an area that we often hold a lot of tension in. So if you do feel any tension, take a deep breath in through the nose and see if you can start to let it melt away on the exhale. Taking a moment to notice any sensations that you might be feeling in the lower half of the body. There might be a warmth or a coolness, maybe a tingling. Just notice it before moving your awareness into the back. Again, leaning into your chair for support. Knowing that you are supported in this moment with each breath. Taking your attention now into the stomach area, noticing if there's any tension here, encouraging it to relax with a deep breath. As you move your awareness to the chest, to the shoulders. Again, encouraging those shoulders to fall away. If they're high up, close to the ears, just let them fall, let them soften. Taking that awareness into the hands now and noticing the tips of each finger. Moving your attention up the arms, from the wrists to the forearm and the upper arm, back to the shoulders. Taking the awareness into the neck, into the jaw. Notice if the jaw is clenched. Allow it to soften. Notice that space between the brows. Again, we often hold tension here. Encourage it to soften. When you're ready, moving your awareness to the top of your head. Taking a moment to tune into the body as a whole. Allowing yourself to feel supported, and grounded in this moment. And we'll close out this practice together with three cleansing breaths, inhaling deeply through the nose and exhaling fully out through the mouth. And again, breathing deeply through the nose and exhaling fully. And one last time, the deepest breath you've taken today, breathing in through the nose and exhaling fully out through the mouth. Nice. And when you're ready, in your own time, you can bring yourself back to the room and gently open the eyes.
Beautiful.
It was a little bit more than 5 minutes, but...
I think I'll let you off because that was just so worth it. So I think the value of that, Kira, is like, some people go, really, was it? And that's a really good lesson for ourselves. Mm. So we go, well, I don't have 5 minutes. So, well, actually, you know, that was probably what, I don't know, 10 minutes, was it? Or
I think it was seven.
I mean, look, 7 minutes and you can completely change your physiological state. Nervous system feels relaxed. Your brain feels calm. My muscles and my body feel relaxed. And now it's like optimal to go into a manifesting practice. So for those of you listening, you know, what a great idea to maybe do some scripting. There we go. I'm just going to go with something that's just come straight into my mind. And what we can do at the beginning of a day or, you know, with the month or few months in advance, we can script our future self. So whether it be the end of your day self today, who's lying in bed, or 3 months' time, you can script as if what you want has already happened in the form of a gratitude letter. So I'm going to pretend I'm in bed tonight to give an example. What an absolutely fantastic day. I felt like I got so much achieved today, ticked loads of things off my list, but also had time to have a really nourishing lunch, put my feet up in front of the fire, take my dog for a walk, and had a lovely chat with a neighbor. So I'm going to bed feeling fully nourished in mind, body and soul. Thank you for a beautiful day. Boom. Now is the time to do something like that. It's perfect after something like that, Kira. So thank you. That was beautiful.
No problem. Thank you for allowing me to do that. I'm glad I could share
it. It's been so lovely to get to know you and what you do more. If the listeners want to get hold of you, like, how would they do that? What kind of things, what have you got on offer next? I know you and I are both on this the standard masterclass together, but I'm going to hand over to you. Yeah. Let's know about what I'm doing. What are you up to? How can they connect with you?
Yeah, so I'm doing the standard masterclass on the 27th of January, which will be an evening of visualization for goal setting. So getting really clear on what it is you want out of the year and using your visualization practice to get you there. And then I also run monthly Finding Quiet wellness experiences in London. So the next one's on the 1st of Feb. It's a half day retreat. So a really nice time to reset now that the January chaos is almost over. And then all of our other monthly events are also on the website. So just findingquiet.co.uk for all the information on those.
I'll pop that in the show notes too. And so you're also on Instagram?
Yes, on Instagram. I've got the community Instagram, which is finding.quiet. And then I'm also on Instagram myself, Kira McGinley _. And that's kind of where I share all the behind the scenes of the events and the wellnessy side of my life. I'm also a wellness journalist. So I share a lot of the kind of tips that I pick up over on there as well.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Kira, so much. Mm-hmm. I have got a lot from this today. I've been reminded of a whole load of things that I'd forgotten. So I want to say thank you, but also just for bringing such a beautiful energy to this space. And no doubt you will have helped the listeners tenfold in many different ways today. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been so lovely.
Oh, you're so welcome. Any final words that you want to share? Anything that we haven't had time to share quickly, or you think we got it all?
I think we did really well. I think the main thing I always like to say is, you know, your practice will look so different. Everyone's practice looks different. So if you're not connecting with it initially, or if you're finding something doesn't work for you, keep going, try different things, because this can really support you in your everyday life, nourish your well-being, and you will find the right technique for you.
Beautiful. What a lovely way to end it. So thank you, my lovely. And I will be back with you soon. I've got another show lined up, which I think you're going to find very, very interesting, especially if you feel like you are moving beyond the people around you and you're more positive and you feel that they're more negative and you're finding it a little bit difficult to know how to navigate that space. So keep an eye out. That's coming up soon. And yeah, see some of you on the Standard Masterclass, either on Kira's or on mine. Take care for now.
Thanks for listening. Solara Star will be back next week with great insights into the law of attraction. In the meantime, please visit solarastar.com.